How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game looks like another kind of overcast day, as it looks like rain is headed our way for the next several days.
It's headed your way for sure.
More hurricanes still affecting our weather. I've lost track of the names. I can't keep up with the hurricanes anymore.
Zeta.
That are affecting Zeta. Sure.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, is that
yes.
Who we're naming it after?
No, not really.
I know a lot of...
they're in Greek alphabet, and they're almost done with that.
I remember, you know, Sorority Row had Zetas, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll just leave it at that. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging over in East Nashville, and Chase McCabe, along with Elijah Campbell, back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by Rumble On. .com. This is a tip that I've learned, and we're just going to start right out of the gates with a team that supposedly Chase cannot talk about the rest of the season. He vowed if they lost to FT Washington, yep, that he would not talk about them. But just to kind of paint the picture down in Big D, you know, we see coaches, whether it's the head coach, the coordinators, players, today's Zoom calls, right? That's how they meet with the media. Well, it's no different than any other NFL market. And yesterday it was time for the DC in Dallas, Mike Nolan, to talk to the media about their wonderful start to the season. And they're coming off their wonderful performance against FT Washington. He had to stop in the middle of the press conference because he started rubbing his left eye. And he apparently had just come from eating in the cafeteria and had Tabasco on his fingertips, and he rubbed Tabasco sauce into his eye. That's the state of your Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I'll tell you what, it is good to do sports talk radio down in Dallas right now. I bet they are having a field day every single day down there. It has got to be, it's got to be like the best sports talk day ever, every day down there, because they are a hot, hot mess.
They're half a game out of first.
And they're half a game out of first. Exactly right. But it feels like they're 18 games out of first, and you can't even be 18 games out of first, but that's what it feels like for them. But like you said, they're right in the thick of things. In fact, Elijah has pulled the – it doesn't really do any justice because it's the audio. You need to see the visual of – him basically, the minute he starts rubbing his eyes, like, oh, the burn, what's going on here? So it doesn't really do it justice. You kind of need to see it to really get the full laugh. But, man, what a mess they are. And now they're getting blitzed, you know, after they came out and called out their coaches. Now their backup quarterback, who's now the starting quarterback, and Andy Dalton gets creamed in the game, and everybody just stands around and looks at him. It is a bad, bad look down there. Willie, your thoughts, since Chase can't talk about them.
They're a half game out of first. Are they any worse than the other teams in that division? I think that's how you have
probably
to look at
not.
It internally.
Well,
now they
I
had
guess
their...
so. They lost to Washington 27-3 or whatever the final was.
What's the prognosis on Dalton? Does he have any chance of coming back this week, or is it going to be another week?
He's in the protocol.
He's in protocol. He's in the protocol.
Now, this is what I want to know. You know, our listeners, I believe it was Michael that put me on the list for mm-hmm. talking about the Cowboys. If you guys bring it up and ask me a question, am I allowed
we're
to respond to it?
We're trying to have you walk into a
trap. I want to keep my word. I am a man of my word. And so I just want to establish the rules.
Well, we didn't exactly set this up in writing and have you sign off on it. It was kind of something that just happened because – you know, you kind of got blitzed
like the Cowboys
on Friday. Yeah, like the Cowboys. You got blitzed And, you know, it was kind of something that, well, actually, that's not what made you, you said that earlier in the week when somebody.
It was the same guy. It's been
the same guy.
Yeah,
okay,
it's been the same guy on the text line.
Okay.
He has weighed in already.
Okay.
Michael from Hendersonville. I thought we weren't talking about the cowgirls anymore, fellas.
No, that's, I didn't say anything. I didn't say a word, and Willie didn't say a word. We could talk whatever we want. Now, we didn't set any parameters on what you can do.
Yeah.
I just think it's comical how, like, this is just every day for them. I mean, it is brutal how bad they are and how much they have just, like, turned into the laughingstock. And this is just another prime example. I mean, they are in the news every single week, and it's not about their pathetic losses or how bad they play. It's about, you know, the players calling out the coaches and, you know, say nothing nice about them, and now you can't even have the defensive coordinator do a press conference without rubbing Tabasco sauce in his eye.
It's a dumpster fire right now. And I think we all agree that Mike McCarthy overrated, but definitely an upgrade over Jason Garrett. Agree?
I guess so.
When the hire was made,
he's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right.
Feels like how long ago was that?
It's a while ago.
Okay.
What were you, Chase? Were you in high school or college when they did that?
With the Packers?
Yeah.
They beat the Steelers. Is that right? I was in college. Yeah. I was still in college.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
I'm starting to get the feeling that this could be like a one and done thing.
Elijah was riding his bike around the neighborhood last time. I mean, you know, so it's been a while.
Yeah. No, it has. And does Jerry pull the plug after 1 year? Because right now,
what it looks the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't think he'd have a choice with the way it looks.
You'd have a choice. He's only been just hired the guy.
Well,
it's too bad the Titans aren't in their division.
Oh yeah, you know? They'd be running away. They would have already clinched.
They would already be sitting players. Yeah, we're gonna sit this guy this week. Just give him a week off. They'd be sitting players. Going into week 8.
Yeah.
It is a mess. Tonight is game 6 of the World Series. We could have used it last night because I got so disinterested in watching the Chicago Bears and the Rams. Wow.
I turned that off.
Was that a snooze fest or what? And I was just craving for something else, and it was TV hell last night. I went to bed early. I said, the heck with this. Just terrible. We could have used Game 6 last night, but nonetheless, it is tonight, and we'll see if the Rays can push this thing to Game 7.
I'm excited. I'm hoping for a Game 7. I would not mind seeing the Dodgers win. I know that they've really been all over it. I'd like to see them get through, but I wouldn't mind seeing Tampa win either. You can't help but root for the underdog. The stories on their team of the no-name guys and where they got them. You know, sometimes just picking them right up off the scrap heap or making a trade that got zero attention when it was made, and then a couple years later, like, man, that was our team had that guy? You know, that they are loaded with guys like that they didn't even draft. They just identified somewhere and gave up a song for him. And I thought Jeff Francoeur had a great line during the LCS. He said, it's to the point where if the Rays call you to make a trade, you hang up the phone. You do not answer the call because they're on to something.
They'll fleece you.
Yeah, yep. They're on to something. They've won so many trades. Their payroll is tiny compared to the Dodgers, and they're one game from forcing a Game 7. And I kind of like their matchup tonight. Tonight is the night where the Dodgers don't have the starting. This is the game that David Price would start. And instead, it's going to be a combination of guys, Tony Gonsolin, and they'll probably piece it together. And if it goes to tomorrow, they'll have Walker Buehler. They'll have a good advantage, but the Rays would have Charlie Morton. And the Rays have Snell tonight, and we know what they can do if they get to the bullpen. So I kind of like the Rays' chances of getting to a Game 7.
Yeah,
Dodgers, I think, are a small favorite.
I will pull that up and I'll let you know.
I think it's like -130, something like that, last time I looked.
It's
not really that small. I mean, it's, you know, for a Game 6.
They just have so many more hitters.
Football
their
line,
hitters are so much better.
That's a three and a half. They're a 3.5 point favorite. There you go. That's kind of, if we were to equate it to a football line, they're about a 3.5 point favorite.
I do hope we hear Joe Buck say, "We'll see you tomorrow night." I'm at the point where I'm pulling for Mookie, but at the same time, they beat my team, so I'm kind of just like, whoever wins it, whatever. I don't care. I just want to. I'm enjoying the games. So let's just get to a game seven.
Let's just be honest. If Mookie wasn't on the Dodgers, there's no chance you would ever say anything nice about him.
No. No, you're right.
No chance.
You're absolutely
no chance.
And I know he's not playing, but David Price too. I mean, like those guys a lot, have a lot of respect for them, and but I wouldn't. I would be trashing the Dodgers if it wasn't for those guys. So,
yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Should be a fun game tonight. We got a lot of things to get to on the program today. I mean, a lot. We're going to cover a lot of ground like we always do. We're going to head down to Tampa, speaking of that, and find out the pulse of that market right now. Think about it. We just talked about the Rays are suiting up to play Game 6 tonight in the World Series. The Lightning went off to their bubble, and they came home victorious. They win the Stanley Cup. And, oh, by the way, the Bucks over the weekend acquired Antonio Brown. He's not going to be ready this week. He's going to be ready the following week. He comes off his suspension. And, oh, by the way, the Bucks just keep shredding teams. What are they, 5-2 now?
And 5-2.
Yep.
After losing the first game.
Yeah. 5-2, and they look pretty good, pretty darn good. You do wonder where this is going, because they're starting to look like the complete package. They're lethal on offense, and their defense. I'll tell you what.
That's where I'm.
You want to look at linebackers? Watch the Tampa Bay Bucks linebackers. My goodness, are they impressive. What is it, White, and is it David or McDavid?
Connor McDavid is playing for the Bucks?
No, not Connor McDavid. No, he's done.
David?
His season is done always after the first round. No. Yes. What is it, Elijah?
Levante David.
Yeah, Levante David. David and White, those guys fly around. They are ridiculous. That Bucks defense is good. Tell you what, they look like a really good team. So we'll just find out the pulse of what that market is like down there, because, man, they are rolling right along. We'll do that on the other side. Also, TJ Houshmandzadeh at high noon. We'll talk to him. Alan Bell in the second hour. We'll get a lot of things to get into with him. Of course, we'll head over to West End to start the fourth and final hour. Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, and Mitch Light right afterwards from The Athletic. So covering a lot of ground, as I mentioned, right here on this overcast Tuesday on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go Bucks! Thank you, Pete. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's head down to Tampa. We told you we would, and now we are. Tom Krasnicki, WDAE 95.3 down in Tampa. It is good to do sports talk radio down there. Things are rolling right along, and Tom joins us. How you doing?
You better believe it. Doing great. How are you guys?
Man, you guys got plenty to talk about, whether it's the Lightning winning the Cup, the start of the Bucks season, and now they've acquired Antonio Brown. And, oh, by the way, the Rays just happen to be playing in Game 6 of the World Series tonight. What is the market like right now? What are people like as sports fans? I have to believe this is as good as it's ever been.
I'm telling you, man. Other than that, there's nothing really happening here. All is quiet on the western southeastern front. But, yeah,
right.
this town is going pretty crazy right about now. And, you know, it all started with the Lightning and the great run that they had from the bubble environment. I just want to say, guys, that I know there are a lot of opinions out there, but I think any team that wins a championship under these adverse conditions and circumstances deserves a lot of credit. There's not going to be any asterisk from me, nor should they be from anybody else, because being bubbled up and having the structure and discipline to have to go through the road that the Lightning went through, what the Rays are going through, what the Lakers are going through, I think those teams should be given a lot of credit for getting to the mountaintop.
What's interesting is we made our picks every round, and it was pretty clear that I was, you know, even though I've been burned by the Lightning over the years, like a lot of people, right, picking them, they look like the best team, and they have had their failures. As we know, in the playoffs, especially last year, that I started referencing I was going to pick them because I saw a lot of what Virginia did. And not knowing, Tom, the storyline, I had no clue. And I just thought, you know, Virginia, number one seed, went into the college basketball NCAA tournament. They get upset by a 16 seed. That had never happened before. Wow, what a failure that must have been like. But how did they respond? They came back the next year and they cut down the nets. And I said, I just kind of feel like that's what Tampa's going to do. They're going to use that as motivation, like Virginia. They've been mocked. People have, you know, been shaking their head going, how can a team that had an historic regular season like that go out in four in the first round? They're going to use that as motivation. And not knowing the storyline until I watched John Cooper do SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, and I see him with the Virginia Cavaliers basketball hat on, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then he tells the story. Did you guys know about that, that they were kind of secretly using Virginia as kind of a reference point behind the scenes? Was that a well-documented story down there?
Well, after the fact, when John told everybody on SportsCenter, that's when we knew, when he mentioned it, because they kept that thing under wraps, and they absolutely used it as motivation. UMBC was a 16 seed. They beat Virginia. Virginia was embarrassed. The Lightning were beaten by the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were swept four straight. The Lightning were embarrassed, and they had to carry that weight through them for about 15, 16 months until they can see Columbus again in the playoffs, and they took care of business. And I think once the Capitals went out, and obviously Pittsburgh was eliminated by Montreal, then I think the road started to open up for the Lightning there a little bit. Once I saw the Capitals go out, because the Capitals gave the Lightning all kinds of trouble, I felt really confident that the Lightning would go all the way and win the Stanley Cup, and boy, did they ever.
Obviously, this season didn't go the way the Predators wanted to go, and they've been keeping their roster intact. Well, that is not the case this offseason. They have decided to shuffle a lot of things around, and it is going to be a different roster next year. Tampa decided to do that a little bit in their offseason. So what, in your mind, what was the one or two pieces that changed that roster, that mentality in the room, and pushed them over the top again?
I think after the Columbus series, guys, Julien Brisebois took a look at his roster. He said, look, we're not tough enough. We're not physical enough. We don't have a guy in this locker room who has been there and done that to bring us over the mountaintop. So he went out, he got Patrick Maroon for dirt cheap. He had just won a Stanley Cup with St. Louis, and he came in and he provided that experience, that championship pedigree, the guy who's been there, done that. And from the moment he walked into the locker room, guys, he became one of those leaders. And then at the trade deadline, he went out and he rolled the dice. He gave up multiple first-round picks. He gave up Nolan Foote, who was a pretty good prospect in the Lightning organization, and he made two trades. He got Blake Coleman, and they got Barkley Goodrow, two tenacious, physical type of guys. And between those three guys, I think between Maroon and Goodrow and Coleman, I think those three guys were just as integral as some of the superstars, the Hedmans and the Points and the Kucherovs and of this world and the Vasilevskis of this world. Then you saw Steven Stamkos for the most memorable 2 minutes and 47 seconds of his life in that one Stanley Cup playoff game against Dallas where he scored and then he didn't play again. But I think the toughness, the tenacious attitude of those three guys in particular really put the Lightning over the top.
That's me clearing my throat, guys. We'll talk about that, what Tom just said, a little bit later. So when you think about the markets, this will be the last thing on my end. A lot of people have made the comparisons of the Lightning, just kind of the atmosphere down there, you know, in Tampa, the atmosphere in Nashville, the fan bases. You know, what kind of atmosphere, what kind of market is Tampa for the Lightning?
I think it's become a great market, and I think it starts right at the top. When Jeffrey Binnick bought this team, he said he wanted to turn this into a title town or hockey town, and I think it's all of that and a whole lot more. And the smartest thing he did after he bought the team is he started picking the brains of a lot of people, including Hall of Famer Scotty Bowman. He said, listen, I need somebody who can run this hockey enterprise, because he didn't want to be one of those hands-on type of owners. He wanted to hire a hockey person to run the show, and he would just fade off in the background. Let me know if you need anything, but it's your show. And then to a man, everyone told him Steve Yzerman's your guy. So that was the smartest thing Jeffrey Binnick did. He went out, got Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman made a number of unbelievable trades, and he put this team together before he went back home to Detroit. And then he handed the reins off to Julien Brisebois, who was his assistant GM. And Brisbois, kind of like, you know, Luke Skywalker learning from Obi-Wan Kenobi, picked up a couple of pointers, and he made those moves I just talked about, which put the Lightning over the top. So that's where it all starts, guys. It starts with ownership, and it kind of trickles its way down through the organization. That's why the Lightning are a well-run organization, one of the best, I think, in all of sports.
Tom Krasnicki is our guest. Imagine what it's like down in Tampa, WDAE Radio. Championship for the Lightning. The Rays 2 games from a championship, playing Game 6 tonight, and the Buccaneers really coming on as one of the biggest showcase teams in the league right now. So, Tom, I'm just curious how you plan your show every day as this has gone. You know, we had nothing to talk about for 3 months, no sports, and then all of a sudden you've got all these things going on and all three teams are on fire down there. Who dominates the talk in your area right now?
Well, right now it's certainly the Rays. I mean, it is a football town, guys. So the Buccaneers obviously have gotten a lot of pub ever since Tom Brady agreed to come here back in March. This town has been upside down with Bucs talk and people flooding the Bucs trying to get tickets. Obviously, there's only a limited number of fans that are being allowed in games, but it is certainly a hot ticket here. Tom Brady has completely changed the fortunes of the Buccaneer franchise. And you know, the Rays, based on their 40-20 regular season, they got everyone all excited. They beat the Yankees, which a lot of people around here who don't like Northerners, obviously, were very happy to see the big bad Yankees go down to the small market, shoestring budget Rays team. And, you know, the Rays started to gain a lot of momentum there, and they held off the Astros. Now they're in the World Series. So I think in terms of our show, the Rays have been kind of the top lead this week until this baseball season ends, which hopefully doesn't come until after tomorrow night. And then after that, guys, it's going to be Buccaneers 24-7 all the way, hopefully through February, where the Super Bowl is here. And the Buccaneers are going to try and buck that trend and become the first team to play the Super Bowl in their own backyard, which would be an unbelievable set of circumstances if that plays out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to leave the Bucs questions to Chase. I just have one more on the Rays, Tom, is you know, I know down there it's been an issue for a long time trying to figure out a way to build a new park to where then all of a sudden they can have some revenue streams to go with the brilliant team crafting that they've already done there. What does this do for that movement? Do you think they're closer, or is that something that is still a ways off? Let's see if they win the World Series first.
I think it's a ways off, guys, because it comes down to money and how much money with the taxpayers, you know, stand to lose or stand to, you know, willing to sacrifice in order to build a stadium here. And I don't think that's a conversation that people here want to have. And, you know, you're talking about $1 billion plus. I don't know where you're going to find that type of money. And Stu Sternberg has made it adamant that he doesn't think baseball is going to last here in Tampa Bay full time. So he's looking around. Now he's come up with this split season deal with Montreal, guys, which I don't believe is viable in the long run. I don't think officials in the city of St. Pete, where the Rays are currently situated, are going to buy that either. Now, Stu had some conversations with the people over in Hillsborough County, where Tampa resides, and they thought they had a deal down there in the downtown Ybor district where it meets the downtown area, and they thought they had a great idea for a stadium, but it fell through because of the finances. So I'm concerned. I think a lot of people are concerned about the future of the Rays. The Leafs at the Trop is up in 2027. I don't believe they will be here when that lease does expire, and it's going to open up, you know, a number of questions about where they're going to be. And guys, you know, I hear Nashville is looking for a baseball team, and I would certainly not count them out.
Tom Krasnicki is here with us from WDAE in Tampa talking about everything going on in their town. So what's the Antonio Brown conversation been like over the last few days now that he is going to reunite with Tom Brady? I guess they're best buds after their handful of games, if you want to even call it that, in New England last season. But obviously an incentive-laden contract, but you're just adding him to the weapons that are already there with the Bucs.
It's a hot topic of conversation, guys, and you know, a lot of fans don't like the idea because of Antonio Brown's recent pass, and honestly, I'm with them. I don't understand this move from a Bucs perspective. You have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, two Pro Bowl receivers, two guys who are arguably two of the top 10 receivers in all of football, and Scotty Miller is another young guy whom Tom Brady likes throwing to. The injury to O.J. Howard has a lot to do with what happened. And the injuries late last year, guys, they lost Evans and Godwin right at the end of the season, and that caused the Buccaneers to fall off, lose their last two games, and then Jameis Winston kind of got run out of town after that. And I think that's stuck in the heads of Bruce Arians and Jason Light, but there's no question. No matter what Bruce Arians says, Tom Brady, and I've heard this going back months, was the driving force behind this. He wants Antonio Brown here. Tom Brady's obsessed with winning, and he's looking at this Buccaneer offense, and it's very good right now. He thinks it could be great with Antonio Brown and Evans and Godwin on the field at the same time in those three receiver sets, and to provide the kind of mismatches that Brady craves and wants to see. So I think the offense is clicking. They believe that in a short window that Tom Brady's here, Antonio Brown could help make this offense completely unstoppable, provided that he stays on his best behavior, which I don't think is a given.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody could think that. How has the relationship between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, you know, evolved over the last few weeks of the season as if they've kind of gotten comfortable with each other?
Yes, for sure. And I think Bruce Arians learned his lesson, guys, after the Saints game where Brady threw a couple interceptions, and there was that one interception where he's trying to target Mike Evans, and it was intercepted, and Evans and Brady didn't see the same coverage. And Bruce Arians came on after the game, well, that was totally on Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady's fault. When, in fact, it wasn't his fault when they went back to watch the film, and Evans admitted it was his fault. And, of course, Brady did not take too kindly to that. And I think Arians learned his lesson that, hey, I may have been able to criticize Jameis Winston last year, but this isn't Jameis Winston. This is Tom Brady. This is the GOAT. No one's ever done it better than him. So I think Bruce kind of learned his lesson there, and I think that's why he stepped up for Tom the other day and said, listen, Tom had nothing to do with Antonio Brown coming here. This is my call. This is General Manager Jason Light's call, when everybody knows Tom Brady was the guy doing it. So I think he's become really comfortable in the offense, guys. You saw what they did to the Raiders on Sunday. It was four touchdown passes and a fifth touchdown via the quarterback sneak. They're only going to get better as he becomes more comfortable with the weapons around him. And now he's got Antonio Brown walking in here next week, and they have a little bit of a rapport between each other. And I think they've been talking to each other quite a bit over the last few months. And now with that guy entered into the mix, it's going to make this offense really tough to stop.
You bring up Jason Light, and I can remember him a few years ago on Hard Knocks, and our afternoon show host Floyd Reese knows him quite well from their time together in New England. It did seem like there was a time where maybe his seat was warm. Obviously, he made the coaching change to Bruce Arians. He signed Tom Brady, so I would say things are good. But what has that whole journey been like with him since he's been the general manager of the Bucs?
It's been up and down, guys. And look, every general manager is not going to have every move work out in his favor, right? I mean, there are two things that are going to perhaps put a little bit of a stain on his resume. One is taking a quarterback number one overall and having that guy not see a second contract. There are very few GMs in this league who can survive that. And Jason did when Jameis Winston didn't work out. And then there was the whole issue with the kicking situation. They traded up in the second round to get Roberto Aguayo, who lasted Oof. 1 year and was a colossal Oof. Disappointment. And then he used another pick on Matt Gay, a kicker, a couple of years ago, and he didn't make it. So those are the two things you can fault Jason on. But I'll tell you guys, he's made a number of really, really good moves, and his drafts have been really good the last couple of years, producing guys like Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean and Devin White from last year, and Vita Vea, whom unfortunately is injured right now and is out for the season. He's become one of the best interior linemen in football. And his draft this year, guys, his first two picks, he knocked it out of the park. Tristan Wirfs looks like a tremendous right tackle. And Antoine Winfield is a high-impact defensive back who just got his first interception on Sunday. So I think there's a lot more good than bad when it comes to Jason Light and his resume.
Well, it's going to be a fun thing to watch the rest of the season for the Bucs. And, of course, see what happens with the Rays tonight and possibly tomorrow. Tom, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Stay safe.
Tom Kresnicki, WDAE 95.3 in Tampa, talking about everything going on in their market. We'll get into Antonio Brown a little bit more. Plus, there is a corner that's on the market that could be a fit for the Titans. But first, Darren, you have a word about DraftKings.
I do. DraftKings is live right here in our state, right here in Tennessee with mobile sports betting. Yes, DraftKings. You may know them as the leading daily fantasy brand, but they have taken their passion for sports and developed America's top-rated sportsbook app. I know this isn't some offshore operation like other gambling sites. DraftKings is a legit sportsbook right here in the U.S. DraftKings sportsbook app. You can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app now and use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up for a limited time, all new users can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That code again, 1025GAME, and get your deposit bonus up to $1,000 only on DraftKings Sportsbook app. Must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Speaking of the World Series, we brought it up. Game 6 tonight. This is your place to find that coverage. Presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight, right here on ESPN 102.5, the game. Rays and Dodgers, first pitch just past 7 o'clock. So be tuned in for that. Can the Rays push this to Game 7. Pretty interesting discussion piece there on the state of Tampa. He said their lease, a couple things that stood out to me. 2027 is when their lease is up. It kind of sounded like Tom's going, yeah, I'd be surprised if they're here past 2027, which is interesting because that's about a realistic time frame for this group to get all their stuff together, right?
Yeah.
And be able to, I mean, that's a real, I mean, that's six plus years from now. And I think that's a realistic time frame. So he did say that, you know, 2027 seemed like a big year for the Rays future. That's when their lease is up and their contract. And he anticipated that they will probably leave, which would be quite a shame that that market can't hold on to that franchise, but they've done a poor job for such a long time. It's just seemed inevitable for a long time, but yet they keep playing in Tampa. Another thing was him talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning and what they went out and did, what they felt like in the offseason. They needed to get tougher. And sound familiar? Sound familiar on what we've talked about? And so what did they do in the offseason? They went out and they got tougher. Hopefully the moves David Poile has made, they have addressed those issues on this Predators roster. And finally, the acquisition of Antonio Brown. Pretty interesting that this was seems like all driven by their quarterback, Tom Brady. And what is his fascination, his obsession with Antonio Brown?
I don't know. I mean, they did. We know that it was talked about how he just didn't have the weapons in New England anymore. I mean, it was Edelman, and that was about it. I mean, Gronk had retired and who's now come back, and but he had AB for, and I can't, how many games was it? One game. Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say two. So it was just one?
One.
It was one. Because when I said handful, I was like, you know, I don't even think it was a handful. But
one.
Apparently there was something in that one game that
he caught four passes.
Yeah, he loved about AB. So,
he had a touchdown.
Yeah, he did. But I don't know. It's certainly interesting how, you know, Bruce Arians, this feels like uncharted waters for him, because I've always looked at Bruce Arians when he's, you know, been a head coach. He's been the CEO. He's been the one that is calling all the shots. And I'm not saying that he's not to an extent, but now he's got to share some of that with his quarterback. And if they win, who cares? It doesn't matter. But obviously a championship is going to have to be produced, which would be tremendous for that city because it's been so long since Gruden and company won it. But I don't know. We'll see. And you could hear in Tom's voice, and he said with the market, you know, it wasn't necessarily a popular move. So hopefully it doesn't mess things up.
Well, I think they're right to question. I have to say, so far I have missed the boat on Tampa. I usually I've looked at the history, and when you put together sort of a dream team where you piece together a lot of people and you bring in a lot of new people who are great in other places, they're a little bit older, it hasn't worked real well. But so far it's working. But now they're really pushing the envelope, bringing in Antonio Brown at a position where it doesn't appear to me that they have a need there. Right? You already have Evans. You have Godwin. The other guys aren't chopped liver.
Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller made a great play. He's done a nice job. Right? How many do you need there?
And right. Scoring points has not been their issue.
Yeah. And their defense is – that's where I missed the boat. Their defense is way better than I thought it would be. And they're protecting them reasonably well, right? That was the other big question mark, is could they run what they wanted to with the pass protections? But that's happened. So why do they need him? Why do they need Antonio Brown?
Do you know where they rank in the league on scoring points this year? I guess.
It's good.
Top five?
They're scoring a lot.
So top five, that's okay. Willie?
I'll say third if you want me to.
I was say, can you get a little bit more specific? Yeah,
sure, there you go, third.
Okay,
I'll say ninth.
Ninth. How about numero uno?
Most points.
Most points in the league. And they go out and acquire Antonio Brown. It's interesting, but you going to be able to keep everybody happy?
I mean, I guess Tom Kansas Brady has a lot of faith in himself as, you're not going to cross me. If you cross me, you're out. And they'll just move on.
Well, Bruce Arians said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians said, you know, he messes up. We move on. But I thought it was interesting, Bruce Arians yesterday. You know, everybody is reporting that this is Tom Brady's move, but yet Bruce Arians yesterday was trying to say this was all the organization's decision. This was his decision.
Baloney.
Yeah, right. And nobody's buying it. But he tried to do that yesterday, say this was a this was a front office decision. This was, you know, that's who made this call. And everybody knows it's not. But I guess it was interesting that he's trying to frame it that way publicly.
Well,
that nobody's buying.
And I respect that he's, you know, he's being the head coach. That's what he's doing. He's stepping up and trying to be the voice of the team, but everybody that's followed this story and knows anything knows that that's just simply not true, that Tom was pulling the strings behind the scenes. Tom is who was fighting for AB, wanted him there. We know that there were other teams that supposedly were interested. Seattle was a name that was thrown out there. In Seattle, they're no strangers to going and getting, you know, some troubled players to try and give them a second or third or fourth chance. It's simply just, this was Tom. And the fact that he's Tom Brady and he's able to, I mean, think about this. If what we had talked about during the offseason had happened and Tom signed with the Titans, are we talking about Antonio Brown coming to the Titans?
Of course we are. And Rob Gronkowski would be here. Yeah. It's what I, that was the whole reason that I was throwing all this stuff out there. It doesn't mean that I'm disappointed today. I mean, Ryan Tannehill has been great. So, it's worked out. It's been a win-win for both, right? The Titans have won, and the Bucs are certainly winning. But this is exactly what I expected. Wherever Tom Brady landed, this is what the Bucs get, tons of attention. Gronkowski comes out of retirement. Would he have been here? Yes, he would have been here. And my suspicion is Antonio Brown would have been here too, because Tom Brady, this just in, rightfully so, has a lot of clout. But nobody should be surprised what Bruce Arians is doing, because you can't. He's trying to take the heat off his quarterback because, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, this just in, you know, if you don't really follow football or you don't play fantasy football, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the best 1-2 punch in football. Like, they're two all-pro receivers. They're fantastic. They're elite. And they may be going, why do we need Antonio? Our quarterback is out there lobbying for Antonio Brown when you have me. When you have this guy, right? So he's trying to take the heat off Tom Brady, which makes sense.
Yeah, so wide receivers on this roster now. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Tyler Johnson, AB, and then Scotty Miller, and then some guys I've never heard of. But, I mean, how many receivers do you need?
Well, that's going to be the thing is
they have eight.
If everybody plays their role and nobody cares how many passes they get every week, and they're content with maybe one week you are the main guy that has the matchup.
When does that
one
ever
week
happen?
You're not. Well, it has been a problem before.
With diva receivers or receivers.
It can be a problem, as we know. But can Tom Brady keep a lid on it and say, guys, this is how we're going to win a Super Bowl? It's something to watch for sure. But I'm always wary of when you, like you said, Darren, they're already carving it up, right? They're already playing at a pretty high level. And adding him, can you get any higher than number one? I don't think you can get any higher than number one, can you? Is there another level?
There's not.
I wasn't very good in school, but I don't believe so.
Now, maybe that's what he thinks is going to take. It's a very intriguing story. I'm just glad that the Titans didn't go there. When we had this discussion last week, remember it was like 95% said run the other way, including Floyd Reese. It wasn't just, you know, us and the listeners. But the Bucs said bring him on.
Because, I mean, this, obviously it could work. But, you know, Darren, the point you just made, you know, does this cause a riff of, wait, why is Tom going out recruiting a guy? Have we not done enough?
You know, you got us, man. What
right.
Do you
mean? Like, what do you
need
him for?
Him.
I mean, the guy hadn't played in over a year.
We've scored the most points in the league, and you have us. What do you need him for?
Yeah, so does that, you know, do you have – because, trust me, this happens. We know this happens. If a receiver in this case is ticked off, you know, maybe they don't run as hard on a route. You know, maybe they don't run as hard. They see the ball that's it's been overthrown just a little bit. Maybe they don't run it out to try and make that extra, you know, make that catch, give it that extra. I'm not saying that that's a, you know, these guys are going to do that. I think they're pros, but it's
a fair point.
It's certainly a fair point. You know,
it could happen. And by the way, the biggest thing of all, we're talking about the easy stuff, and it's not even easy. It's trying to keep everybody happy on the road. How about and what is Antonio Brown going to be? I mean,
right.
Is he, you know, is he going to go in there and disrupt things, or is he going to, you know, go in there? And I heard Charles Robinson tell a great story today on Robbie and Rex Road this morning in their final hour. By the way, he's a really good listen, too. I don't know if he's on there every Tuesday morning at 9
he
o'clock.
Is, yeah.
I know he's been coming on regularly. I didn't know if he had a regular time slot. If you Tuesdays at 9, it's a good listen. You should check him out. He's really good. And he told a story about Troy Polamalu in practice where Antonio Brown came out in practice and was flapping his gums and saying some really nasty stuff and just being completely disrespectful to Dick LeBeau. I mean, is there anybody that deserves respect more than Dick LeBeau on what he's done? Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame coach, been around for 60 years. Is there anybody that garners more respect than that guy? And Antonio Brown was out there saying some really disrespectful things loud at practice. And he's like, Troy Polamalu, who never says anything, quiet guy, you know, never says it, just leads by example, leads with his play, turned to the Steelers wide receivers coach and said, receivers are in play the rest of practice. And that was his way of saying, game on. Now we're going to take your boys' heads off because your star receiver won't shut up. Now we're coming after you guys in practice. And that's, by the way, that's a disruption. Okay, that's a disruption to a locker room because you never know how that can get ugly in a hurry. By the way, what if he's not the calm, mild-mannered guy? What if he's a guy that likes to flap his gums too, and the next thing you know, he's not talking to the wide receivers coach, he's talking directly to AB. And then you've got, you know, practice being disrupted by, you know, these two wanting to knock each other's heads off, wanting to fight. You have to break it up. Maybe you have to send somebody to the showers. That's a disruption. So we don't know what AB's coming to town. Like,
right.
What is he going to do to that roster, to that room? Is he the humbled guy? Is he a changed guy that I was, you know, throwing out there on Friday? Maybe he is. I have no clue.
Well, what did one of our listeners say? A leopard never changes his stripes?
Yeah. Yes.
That's an interesting twist on a thing. But all I know is John Gruden in that Hard Knocks could not have bent over backwards more to try to accommodate him. And the helmet stuff and him not showing up and not practicing. I mean, he tried. He did everything he possibly could. and got nothing in return.
And
nothing.
I think that was a mistake. I don't think Bruce Arians does that. Bruce Arians, when they made this move, Jason Light or whoever came to him, Tom, whatever, and said, hey, we're going to sign Antonio Brown, Bruce Arians, I would imagine, said, okay, he's going to play by my rules or he's not going to play.
Well, we'll see.
And either you sign up for this or you don't. But he's going to play by my rules. And he's that type of coach. Everything that you just pointed out with, you know, the stories and the stuff from Hard Knocks, I think that Bruce Arians is the type of coach that can handle that stuff. That he can nip that in the butt real fast.
Well, Tom will have to, too, because if he's responsible for him being there, you bet TB12 is going to have to be over there quickly if he is out of line in the room or on the field. You know what I mean? He's going to have to corral him and push him to the side and say, nuh-uh,
well,
not here.
And to that point, you know, Bruce Arians being a head coach and coming out and saying, you know, this was my decision, this was, you know, the organization's, if this flames out and doesn't work, people are going to, you know, call you-know-what even more, and they're going to go after Tom Brady. They're not going to go after Bruce Arians. People are going to be looking at Tom going, what'd you bring this guy in for? It didn't work. I mean, he got in trouble again.
Yep. Now, there is stuff out there, and this is coming from Albert Breer on Twitter, where he is putting out there that the Patriots, at least that's where I saw it, that the Patriots have talked about trading Stephon Gilmore. They're, you know, all-pro cornerback.
Hmm. Bill Belichick
he's 30 years old.
Yeah. Bill Belichick was evasive when asked about the trade deadline. Are you looking at shopping? But you know the way the wheels turn up there. If they can find a really good deal and somebody overpays, their history shows that they would be interested. Now, what are you willing to pay for Gilmore?
Yeah, what's the price tag, right?
I've heard all this talk of, okay, the trade deadline's coming up. And Stephon Gilmore, sure. Okay, if the price is right, I'm all ears. But, okay, the Titans should look at an offensive lineman. They should look at a corner. They should look at pass rush. I don't think they're going to do anything, guys.
Who? The Titans?
The Titans. I don't think they're going to. I think this is all a great conversation and one we should totally be having, but I don't think John Robinson's going to make a move. He has not made a move in his tenure as general manager at the trade deadline. He has always been that, you know, he builds his team. This is my team. Team first, whatever he wants to throw out there. And I believe these are the pieces that he's going with the rest of the year. I really don't see him making a move. I'm not saying that I agree with that, because I think they should look at some things, but I believe that this is what they're gonna stick with. He's gonna stand pat.
I'm not a big fan of going in big for a guy like Gilmore, but I'm a little bit more inclined to think that Teron's theory yesterday was, you know, he named a guy on the Jets. I forget the guy's name, Pierre or something or other. A guy that is on a team going nowhere, that maybe you float, you know, a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick to get. To me, that's what might be in the cards. I'm kind of with you, Chase. I don't see them going all in for a guy that would cost you a first round pick or something like that.
Yeah, and because here's another thing to consider, and Joe Rexroad pointed this out yesterday when they were having this discussion, that the moves and the contracts that they have made over the last couple of years, you know, the big money deals, signing some of these guys, I mean, they're going to be strapped for cap space. And so all the draft picks that they have, you don't want to get rid of those, because you're going to need to fill some slots with draft picks. And you need some of these guys that are going to have the entry-level deals to help you out.
Yeah.
And
are you talking about next offseason?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Vic Beasley will not be on the books next year. That's $9.5 million. What do you guys think right now today? Is Jadeveon Clowney back next year?
Not at that price.
What if it's another one-year deal?
Fine.
Yeah,
I'd have him back on another one-year deal for less.
I got news for Jadeveon Clowney, the way this is going. Unless there's just this massive turnaround the second half of the season, everybody's figured out what he is, and he's not what he thinks he is.
Sure. All right, well, that is in a nutshell, what we're talking about here. If they want to bring him back, it certainly won't be at the price it took to get him, unless there's a dynamic change in production from here to the end. But I just think John Robinson really values the draft picks, but he has been willing to float a lower round pick to pick up a guy that he thinks is a fit and can help you right now. But I haven't seen it. I don't see a big
investment. Gilmore's not that. He does not fit that bill. He is going to command high.
Right.
He's going to have a high price tag.
But you bring up Jadeveon Clowney. But you got to think about this. Corey Davis, and I don't think we should close the door yet. Corey Davis' contract is up. Daquan Jones' contract is up.
But it doesn't matter whether the door is open or closed. If he comes back, it'll be at a very, a very reasonable rate.
Okay.
It's not going to be very much.
But, and he's not the only one. I'm Jonnu Smith. You got to re-sign Jonnu Smith.
Okay.
Daquan Jones.
He's going to get a raise.
Jayon Brown. Do you want to let him go? I don't.
But the way he played Sunday?
He's a core guy.
Firkster is on a one-year deal. I mean, they're – and obviously not all of these are going to cost you a lot, but that adds up. So if you re-sign these guys – because Jayon Brown's going to – if you bring him back, Jonnu Smith too, I mean, they're going to get a raise.
There's no doubt. They're going to get a big raise.
Right. So that's going to eat up some of the cap space. So that's the point I'm making, of that you're going to have to fill – some holes with your draft picks, and so you can't strap yourself by, number one, getting rid of draft capital to try and fix this year at the deadline, and then also adding more money.
It's probably a long shot at best, but it's still an interesting discussion piece because, wow, could they use a Stephon Gilmore, right?
Sure.
A 5-1 team.
You get him and a Dory Jackson?
Anybody, but we're talking about a team that's 5-1, Willie, and as we talked about for 4 hours yesterday, their deficiency is on defense. And then if you add an all-pro on defense, you haven't fixed the pass rush, but that certainly helps not fixing the pass rush, having an all – I mean, he is an elite corner in the league, right? Elite.
Well, he might be the best, but I don't care if you have the best out there. If you can't get to the quarterback, is it really going to tip the scales in your favor that much? It'd be worth what it is. I'm looking at his contract right now, too. He is an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season. So you would have him this year and next year. So that's interesting.
The Patriots paid a lot for him.
They paid a lot. 65 mil. They signed. They upped him back in 2017. I think is when they did it, or kicked in 2018. So he's playing right now for $13 million base. His cap hit is $25 million. Next year's cap hit is $17 million.
Ugh. Yeah, so they're getting out from underneath that,
right? And he turns 30 next year when it starts to be harder and harder to maintain the level that he's played at. But that, at least you don't have like four more years on the deal. And, the Rams right now, today, are probably pretty happy about where they are with Jalen Ramsey. He's playing great.
You watched him last night. He was fantastic.
The defense is looking good. That was a dominating performance.
Sure was.
They're trying to win right now. They're going to pay the price down the road. But the Titans, to me, do not strike me as a – let's put all our eggs in this basket for this year and next year. But I don't
really,
know.
Well, how long do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to stay at this level? Like, why aren't you putting your eggs in the basket? Like, how long do you think you've got of this magical window of Tannehill?
Well, how are you going to fix the pass?
You think the next 5 years, this is what he's going to look like?
Well, I was thinking this, though. But next year has got to be under consideration, right? Because Henry's contract will be different after next year. Tannehill will be a year older. So your window is not just this year. Next year's got to be part of the window, true? And how are you going to fix the pass rush if you have no first-round pick and you're going to pitch Vic Beasley? He's going to be gone. And you don't know what the heck you're going to do with Clowney. If you bring him back, it's because you can afford him because he didn't do very well.
Yeah. Right.
So you need your first-round pick to be able to.
And so people won't be that excited. You're exactly right. The problem is catch 22 is if he is back at a reasonable rate, it's probably
because he didn't do very
much.
Well.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that pass rush or lack of to start the second hour. Also, Alan Bell will join us at 11:30. TJ Houshmandzadeh will talk about the next opponent for the Titans. That's coming up at high noon. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.